Greetings, creeps. Welcome to episode 32 of the Slashnings podcast. I'm your host, JR, and this is where we discuss horror's influence from the silver screen and beyond. This is my first episode to include a little bit of a content warning, and it's not for any reason you'd expect, but I do chat with the two owners of an amazing oddity shop, so we talk about, like, taxidermy, wet specimens, some of the items they've sold there, just things that might not sit super well with everyone. So I figured I would just jump ahead and say that if it ain't your bag, I totally get it. Also, the audio on this one's not up to my usual par, but the interviews and pieces of info are so good, I couldn't not release it. So if you do bear with it and just listen through it, I promise you there's a lot of good stuff in there. I went back and re-recorded some of my questions, so all of a sudden I'll sound crystal clear, but I was just trying to get it all in one, like, cohesive episode. I kind of Frankensteined a lot of the audio together, which, for an episode about taxidermy, might not be such an off-brand thing. Welcome to this week's episode of the Slashnings podcast. I'm joined by Elliot and Patrice of Scarce Oddities, based out of West Boylston, Massachusetts. How's it going, guys?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys for taking time out of your day to do this episode. Can you tell me a little bit about the history of the store?
Sure. So, a little over 3 years ago, we were in the market for a house. We had been renting a house, and the landlord decided she wanted it back. So, it kind of lit the fire in our backside to hurry up and buy a house. And this house happened to be on the market, and it had the store attached already, which was nice. And we had been thinking about, like, what type of store would we want to open, if we wanted to open one, or if we were going to just use it as a family room or something. So we ended up, after a bunch of brainstorming, decided on to open an oddity store, because there aren't any other ones in the area. So we figured we wouldn't have much competition.
We love it. We call it, weird names. We call it some type of oddities and stuff like that. So we thought it would be a great idea. You
know? Yeah. So we took a year after we bought the house before we opened. So we opened up 2 years ago. It's actually June 1st. So we just had our second anniversary last week.
Excellent. It is really cool to have a good oddity store in the area. We haven't had one in such a long time. I remember there was one around, like, the Mendon area, and there was one in that mill in Lowell for a little bit, but there hasn't really been anything here for Central Mass in a very long time. So it's awesome that you guys have been in there for the couple of years. You've been well established. I think what sets you guys apart, in my humble perspective, without knowing much about oddity shops, is that you cater not only to, like, the hardcore collectors of oddities, but you have things that are accessible to everybody. Like, people can go in and buy pins, go and buy pillows, but you can also buy your femur bone and monkey skull. So you get that really good kind of a really wide array. So I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Do you guys remember what the first oddity you sold was?
Oh, the raccoon
butt. This is a fun story. She can tell you a little better. She's better at explaining than I am, so she can explain
it better. It was a taxidermy raccoon butt, and they had opened up the anus to make it a pen holder. So we had, of course, we had been gathering a collection for a few months before we actually opened the store, because we had to have something to sell. And one of our friends, he saw it and had to have it immediately. So he did wait until our opening day to come pick it up, but it was sold before we even had an opening date.
I wasn't even displayed it or anything like that.
No.
He was like, I'm gonna buy it now. So yeah, it was funny, it's great. I think one of the most bizarre. So weird. We were not able to get it all wanted, but he's just weird.
Yeah, how do you guys go about getting that kind of stuff? Like, how often do you have someone say, hey, I've got a raccoon butt for you?
It's a lot of, like, searching, we do get calls sometimes, and, hey, I have a human skeleton or something, I don't know what to do with it. Had years and sure, so we negotiate a price, or we also do, like, auctions, anywhere we can find something, state sale, yard sale, a lot of work, just constant
stuff, like, some art in here with the monetized creations, like, we can get get the mummified creatures. Some of them have to import. So we have to have, like, a special license for that. And then we put it together ourselves, like, into a piece of art. You know, we just get just the creature by itself. And then, you know.
Well, sometimes you do mummify the creatures or the animals, whatever you want to call it. Also, like, the wet specimens, sometimes we prepare them. So yeah. But it's a lot of work. I'm constantly looking where I can find this stuff. It's, I mean, I love it, you know, so.
Speaking of wet specimens, we had, for a while, we just recently sold it, but we had kind of a fetal cow as a wet specimen, but it came in the uterus. And also, I was told it was only going to be a certain size, and then when it arrived, it was like my arms would encompass if I put my hands together. It was huge. So I had to cut the uterus open and remove the fetal cow. And then the cow didn't fit in the largest jar we had. It, like, barely fit through the opening. But, of course, you have to keep it preserved. So it took, like, an hour of him pacing in the background. And he...
It's just so cute that I didn't want it to break. Now, I'm having to do an American patient. She's not just very calm. She's a nurse. She's very super calm. I'm not. So I was so nervous. I'm going to break it. I'm going to fit it in. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. So it took like an hour, right?
It took at least an hour, yeah. I had to put a straw in the side so that as I was sliding the cow in slowly, like, you know, millimeter by millimeter, there was a way for the air to escape, because otherwise I'm just pushing it, and so the pressure inside the jar, because it totally filled the whole hole. So, yeah, that was an interesting one, but it did make it in the jar, and I don't think anybody would ever be able to take it out of the jar, but...
Yeah, it was just a while ago. Yeah. Like, what did you have in it? Somebody saw it, like, a year and a half later, and this person loved it.
It's good that, I don't know, we don't have to go to the mom, someone that really loves it and cares about it. I don't know, in a weird way, I guess.
I have two follow-up questions. First, how do you learn how to process that? I can't imagine you were just delivered a fetal cow inside of a uterus and you just thought, oh, I can chop right into this. Like, are there classes? Are there lessons you have to take?
Well, a lot of the wet specimens that we get are actually, like, educational specimens. So they already come preserved in formalin, which is really convenient because then you just have to put them in the jar and in the liquid and you're good to go. But we do have to sometimes, like, do the injections and everything. So it's been, like, a lot of Google, and I took some biology classes in college and had to deal with wet specimens then. You know, for dissection purposes. So that's pretty much where it came from. But we do have to do a lot of research to figure out, like, the right techniques to use for some of the stuff. And sometimes it's trial and error, depending on what it is.
And second, do you have a preference between stocking wet specimens and traditional, like, dry taxidermy?
Wet specimens are definitely better. Yeah, wet specimens, like, because they're smaller, they're easier to sell. People, you know, are more willing to get something that's only up to 6 inches tall versus, you know, like a full size coyote.
Yeah, people
actually
don't want to be able to rent it. They can't, like, paint things with a wall, so if someone is just too big, so, I mean, we love it, but I think wet specimens is just, you know, easier to sell, and
easier to take up less space in the store.
Yeah.
But the taxidermy definitely draws people in just to even look at it inside the store. People come to see all the big, neat stuff that we have, but then they buy little stuff. So in that way, wet specimens are definitely better.
I think we didn't know the sale, and all the other people. Like wet specimens, but I mean, we sell so much like wet specimens. It's just a lot. It's really good, you know, interesting.
Now, I haven't bought any wet specimens yet myself, but I hear that sometimes you have to refill the liquid over time. Is that true?
Yeah, sometimes. But, you know, it's basically well hauled as long as the specimen itself is preserved with pollen, formaldehyde. You can just refill with 50 to 70% isopropyl alcohol, which is rubbing alcohol that you buy at the store. But you don't want to go above 70% because it will make it deteriorate. It kind of eats away at the tissue.
Now, with you guys being collectors yourselves, what are some of your favorite pieces from your personal collection?
We actually have a lot of personal collection pieces in the store because we have animals.
I'm glad that Halloween 3 is finally, well, not necessarily finally, but is getting the love it deserves. It used to be treated like the black sheep, like the Halloween franchise, but I always thought it was such a cool concept and a way to, like, vary away from the norm with still keeping, like, the creepy roots.
Yes, absolutely. Like, so fun. We have, like, costumes that I just love in the movie. They, like, get excited to talk about it. There's no idea if they need to go to the movie, I guess. I don't know. I think it's a great movie. It's just unique. I like the whole feel of the movie.
Everything John Carpenter touches turns to gold, and his score for that was really good.
Yes, definitely.
What are some of you guys' favorite horror films?
Halloween, the first one, like one of my favorite movies. As a kid, I used to like Friday the 13th a lot. I was like, dang, but then as I got older, Halloween became my favorite, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. First one. That was really creepy to me as a child. I never watched it as a child. As a child, 80s, I don't know. 10 years old, I used to watch horror movies. Don't ask me why, but my parents used to like to watch them. So that's like those movies. I like favorite Return of the Living Dead. Love the movie. Just like one and two. This is any movie. I like the movies. Just love the movies. I can watch them all the time. Love those movies. They're great. See, Fright Night for vampires. Fright Night is just like a movie I can watch all the time. It's a good feeling. It's just, I don't know, just the whole thing. I wish I could sit there and explain how I feel when I watch it. Newer movies, like 28 Days Later, I like that movie a lot. I can go on a movie for like 3 hours trying to tell how many movies.
It's funny because I still think of 28 Days Later as a newer movie too, but dude, that came out 14 years ago.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes.
I
read that the other day. I'm like, no way, that just came out when I was in high school.
As you get older, you know, you just like forget. Just maybe the newer movies, because I think all the movies are made like, you know, when we were kids, like 80s movies, but yeah. But yeah, those are the top movies. We have so many. I can love movies. I mean, you can ask, as made by horror movies, I can, you know, watch them, I can talk about it. I love it. For hours.
One of the movies I think of whenever I go to like any sort of audio store.
I'm really happy you brought up Return of the Living Dead, because that was one of the ones I was thinking about where I was prepping for this conversation, because one of the few that I could think of between like having like the tank, like almost like the wet specimen zombie, and like the dog sliced in half and the cadavers there, it really fits with the whole oddities aesthetic. I can't really think of any other movies that take place in that kind of setting. Can you guys?
No, watch that.
Murder museum next to Scarce, right? We're gonna have that next.
The funny story is, before one year back in like 40s or something like that, it used to be a gas station here. Yeah, so it used to be like a one pump gas station, and I guess it was a long time ago.
So perhaps you noticed, right in front of the parking lot, there's like raised cement, and we have this wooden thing built here. We actually built that for Halloween. 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years, still there. Yeah,
we have used it from it, and it was like Salem Witch Trials, guillotine and everything else. But that's not originally what that was, like a little shack for the gas station.
Yeah, we can do that, and it's still a project. A whole project.
It's perfect. Best of both worlds.
Yeah, so Return of the Living Dead, I watched it down around like October, I watched every horror movie on my first. And I've just noticed that the oddity part, you're talking about like the dog and all that, and the guy was asking questions, where did you get this skeletons? And he was talking about who lives, like, because that's when he stopped, like, when they were donating.
I think it was like 87, they stopped buying real human medical specimens from India. Because they
found
out that they were coming from
the grave robbers. Oh, and people were racist. Yeah. So that's when we stopped selling. That's when we found out.
This is just our information.
I've seen part three because it had the Screaming Mad Georgie's effects with the girl with like all the like the spikes coming out of her, and that was really cool.
Is this part two? Actually, it's just basically part one. It's basically so similar, and it's great. If you like part one, you like part two. I think part four, I think I personally don't like part four. They didn't even have a five, and it just like some moves to me. I'm very picky because I don't know. There's something that turned me off. I'm just like, I'm done. I'm not watching it. So, like, yeah, I have the powerful one part five. I've seen those three. Love those.
Yeah, it feels like it got to like that sequel fatigue where like, oh, people like the first one, so as long as you put the name on all these sequels, people will still see it and buy the VHS tape later. But I don't feel like they care anymore after like 3.
No. 3 was interesting. 3 was like really good. I like it. Top favorites. Top.
Train to Busan, that's like a newer Korean zombie movie.
I'm meaning to watch it. I'm kidding, multitask, so like, I know it's not in English, so I have to read it. I just can't watch it. It's just the language thing, it bothers me because I just, I don't know, just
just can't. But it, as I started watching it, it's very intense.
Oh yeah, it's definitely one of my favorite modern zombie films. It's got a really cool story to it. The plot gets remarkably depressing, but again, with most modern foreign films, I fall into that same pitfall that a lot of people do, where I'll look at my phone for 2 seconds and then boom, I've missed 10 minutes of dialogue.
Yeah, well, I have to give it a chance.
Do you guys have any item that gets requested frequently from the store that you don't usually have? Like, is there something that's in common demand for an Oddity store that, like, I'm not thinking of? Like something you got, people assume you're going to have, and you're like, no, we wouldn't sell that. Has there ever been anything offered to you guys that you thought was too macabre or too out there to actually put in the store?
Not yet.
No.
I don't see anything to be too macabre for us. I mean, which is, no, no. I mean, I consider, like, human white presence a little too much. We haven't had any yet. That's to me a little beyond, but we haven't had the opportunity to buy any of stuff.
Yeah, what we have is, like, so... such a huge price tag on it. It's like, well, you know, it's going to sit in the store for years. Is it really worth it to have?
I mean, we have come across about, you know, obviously asking retail for them. You know, it's what they're not asking for a lot. It's just what you want to make a profit. So,
something for years and not to invest like thousands of dollars.
But yeah, we that to me a little macabre. Yeah, so like.
That was my next question. Is there any legal gray area in buying human remains?
Human bones are legal in, like, throughout the United States, except Georgia, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee. Three states are legal.
And one of them, you can buy and sell within the state.
Georgia, I think. Yeah, so any of the state is just for the legal goodbye. So, obviously, none of the specimens. So, you look up like the wiring, and if you have the human skull, it's just quote knowledge. You know, they kind of have like the little hooks around, and then like Frank, you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference.
We have heard of the brain skulls, is what they're called. It's literally like people can find a skull in the woods. And because it's been exposed to the elements, the pollen literally turns green. And so you can tell that it's not a medical specimen and it's not legal. So something like that would not be
legal. Oh, that's something like super old, like, yeah, oh, that's something like super old, like, 1800s or beyond that. It's still like a European specimen or something like that.
Yeah.
They might not look like the other ones. But we're not experts, but this is just a.
And
all that we have,
you know,
the little experience.
Yeah, I mean, no one's ever brought up the green skull. That's what we've heard about
how you can tell whether it's. Yeah, I mean, it would be really hurtful if somebody brings up, hey, you know, we have some million questions before we even think about buying, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. What are the summer plans for Scarce?
Well, we are having a baby in 4.5 weeks.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So that's all our personal plans, you know.
But we were, I have taken a vacation from I'm a pediatric home parent, and I literally haven't taken a vacation.
I had taken one day off for being sick because the client got me sick, and that was in 5 years. So we're going to enjoy the weekdays, probably taking like little day trips.
Slasher type deal, like some of the Friday the
13th camp stuff. This is like Friday the 13th. I love those movies, like, you know, even the crappiest ones, I still love them. Yeah, I love those, you know. And which was the one with Camp Something? It's like three parts, and the girl turned out to be a boy at the end of the movie.
Sleepaway Camp.
What is it?
Sleepaway Camp.
And recently I watched one from like
spot where like the practical effects were rock solid, they look cheesy but in the best possible way. Like now, yeah, CGI has come so far and it looks pretty good, but I will take bad practical effects over good CGI almost any day.
Yeah.
Plus,
it's very much
easier before it's all gone. Yeah. Back in, like, you could literally say you have someone trying to chase you and kill you, there were little cell phones, then you couldn't call anybody, so it was a little scary. Like nowadays,
and
they
cut your phone line.
Yeah. Yeah. Nowadays, oh yeah, I'm gonna call the cops, and that's it. And here, it's gone. I don't know. It's the way I look
at it. Well, it's like all those movies that have like cell phone plots. They always have that one lame piece of dialogue where it's like, "Oh, we have no service here." Like, "Oh, how convenient."
Yeah.
Are there any like newer movies coming out that you guys are excited for, or anything you're excited in the horror scene in general?
Well, we just watched like the whole Conjuring.
Yeah,
in that I enjoy the Conjuring films. I think that they're fun to watch. I think, and I everyone says the same thing, I think the Warrens that those movies are based on are pieces of crap, and they definitely took advantage of a lot of people, but the movies themselves have a really good, like, they're entertaining, they're fun popcorn horror, they're a really good entry point for people to get into horror, but I try to balance out my argument, like, yeah, they're fun, but screw the Warrens.
Yeah, I like the favorite one of all of those, Part 2. I think Part 2 was like the best one out of all of them. Abigail, the Nun, and like Llorona. I don't know if you saw that one. The Mexican Llorona, you saw that one?
I didn't see the one they made for The Conjuring first. I saw the other one, the other Llorona movie they made for Shudder specifically. That one was really good. But I felt like it was a weird attempt to adapt it, because it was definitely not the right casting crew for a movie like that. But like, Llorona is such an important part of Mexican horror, and from what I read, excited to see what she brings to the table. I know I'm going to remember it in like a second, but now it's not there. Oh, it's going to drive me nuts. But no, it looks really good. And with Jordan Peele being before, I've enjoyed his movie too, so I think
he's great,
huh?
Yeah. I mean, just coming from a Canadian, and it's just like, wow, he's getting cool this dude. He's so smart and talented. Yeah, definitely excited to see him. Yeah. I mean, I watched the first one, and
Nia DaCosta, that's the director of the new Candyman. Finally came to my head, took me long enough. With Jordan Peele going from comedy to horror, it makes sense, because a lot of those same beats are there. It's all about timing and when to either deliver the scare or the laugh. But I think it's really cool to see that smooth adaptation. Like, Get Out was phenomenal. I think that had its flaws. I think it was a lot of good parts, but I think cohesively it didn't hold together, in my personal opinion. But he clearly knows what he's doing, so I'm excited to see more horror from Jordan.
Let me ask you a question. Which is the worst horror movie you've ever seen?
See, that's all subjective, because I love a garbage movie. Like, the Troma movie is all about him. I can watch Toxic Avengers 1 through 4 all day long and love it. But, so what do I think is bad? I don't know. That's a tough one. Things that I think are overrated, I've discussed on here, like the Texas Chainsaw franchise, probably my favorite major franchise. Like, the first one.
The second one. I like the second one. just wanted to. That's it.
I like Bill Moseley in the second one, but I don't like the direction they tried to go with it, where they tried to make it more of a horror comedy, where, like, the first one is so just bleak and raw and dirty, and then, like, now we're going to make it a joke. Like, okay, thanks.
So, I'm trying to look for the movie that I was going to tell, which is the worst movie I've seen, and Adam West is on it. And this movie is just the worst movie I've seen, and there's nothing you're going to compare how cheesy and how horrible this movie is, and I'm trying to look for it. It was just, I can't find it right now. It sucks. But Adam West is in the movie. And it popped out on Amazon Prime or something like that. I'm like, Adam West in a horror movie, so I watched it. And it was just like the worst, like, oh my god, it was just so bad. I guess the main actor, he was like a wrestler in real life. And, the movie, he's acting just bad. But I can't, I'm looking at it, it's one of the 12 times, it's one Dark Knight, but I'm not sure. It has to be that one. I don't know. It was just horrible. It had a rating of like 2. Like 1 or 2 or something like that. I think it was like the worst. And I wish I remembered to tell you that.
But see, I love horror movies like that too. Like, that one reminded me of Kingdom of the Spiders with William Shatner in it. But that same level of just goofy over the top, like, why did they even make this? I love that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So now, like, some of the movies, horror movies that are cheesy, became like really good. I mean, to me, if you think about Halloween, the first Halloween, that was like a low budget movie. Am I right? I'm not sure, but I think it. So I'm able to go to Mass for a killer. It's like one of the best, to me, one of the best horror movies ever. And we're just very cool body. It's just a guy going around trying to kill somebody with a Star Trek mask. That's what we
know. It was a William Shatner mask that they painted white. Yeah, that budget was literally nothing. And they brought in leaves to dump in the streets to make it look like fall while they made that. Like, they had no actual budget for the movie.
And that's one of my favorite quotes from McGarris, too, is a horror comedy is very rarely scary and very rarely funny, but that movie nails it on both fronts.
Alan Tudyk, like the skinnier of the two actors there, is hilarious in everything that he's in.
Yes, they're both great actors. And, I mean, the movie's just perfect. It's just a great movie. I don't know, it's just so good.
I hope they never do a sequel to it. It doesn't need it. It'll taint the original. Like, just leave it as it is.
That drives me crazy when you do sequels sometimes. I'm like, no, just leave it all and do another one. Like, just like they're doing a sequel for billions of things. They're talking about it. I'm like, don't do it. No. Come on. Just leave it the way it is. It's just a classic. It's going to ruin it. Just leave it the way it is. It's an awesome movie. Leave it the way it is.
Agreed. Green. But I mean, they've been talking about doing a Beetlejuice sequel for forever. Like, even Tim Burton had the idea of Beetlejuice Goes to Hawaii, and I'm like, please just don't. Just don't ever do anything.
Like, no.
Talking about a little bit before we jumped on to the recording here, if you guys have a new commercial coming out for the show.
Yes, we just recently have a costume come here once in a while, and he just yesterday we found out that he was like, he's into filming, and he's the director or something like that. And he was just chatting about horror movies, and I started talking to him about my our portals and the kind of horror movies we have, and Halloween 3 script. And he was like, oh, well, I do this, and well, I don't know, just got into the conversation that he goes, you can do commercials you've done for some like old places in Worcester, the comic.
Death Entertainment.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, I can do a commercial with you if you like. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. So I just don't know that I've ever done this before. So, but he seems really nice and, like, you know, what he's doing. So, yeah. Yeah, let's see how it comes out. I'm super excited. And it seems so easy to work with. So, yeah. I mean, by tomorrow, he's going to come up with a plan. And then probably Tuesday, if everything goes well, he's coming to do
awesome. Well, I'm excited to check it out. We had it for a little bit, so we'll start to wrap up now. Where can people follow you guys online?
Well, we have Facebook, and we have Instagram.
Yeah. Well, you can just type
on will take you right to the Facebook page.
Yeah. On Instagram, sorry, I don't like how to. Oh, sorry. We've been working on the website for a while, but maybe one day we'll get finished.
So we're facebook.com/oddityshow, or on Instagram, we are instagram.com/scarce_oddities. But scarceoddities.com will take you right to the Facebook page too.
Yeah. And anybody can send in the messages here, if any questions, or if you wanted to purchase something, we can send them off. And then invoice, and they can pay for it and pick it up wherever.
We're back. Kind of. We got video. Your audio's not turned on, but we got video. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I apologize for the technical difficulties there. Again, this is going live on Tuesday, June 8th, so I'll tag you guys and all that sort of fun stuff online. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. I love the couple of creepy goodies I've picked up for both myself and my hearse from Scarce, and I highly recommend you check them out as well. If you're enjoying the show, you can always follow me online. I'm at SlashingsPod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can email me directly at SlashingsPod@gmail.com. That's all I have for you this week. I'll be back in two more. Until then, wear your mask where you need to, and keep it creepy.